Welcome to episode 6 of Keep Me Different. Michelle, I want to pick up where you left off, episode 5, about you think, I want to make sure I don't butcher your words. So say it again so then I can retort.
No one is 100% straight.
All right, so with that being said, I'm going to give you a little bit of pushback because I would like to believe, and I just had this conversation with a friend a while ago, I would like to believe that along with there being, you know, people that are in the LGBTQ community, there are people in the heterosexual community. I believe that some people, there are accepted people that are 100% straight. Let me tell you why.
Well, let's wait, because we should start by defining what we view as straightness.
What I mean is that when I say 100% straight, I guess, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I view what 100% straight is. When I look at the same sex, I don't get sexually aroused. Isn't that 100% straight?
Okay, I feel like my definition of what people would think is 100% straight is in that vein. Like, you're getting no attraction to the same sex or same gender. And then, like, I guess also, like, yeah, no attraction at all. And it's not really determined by, like, if you act on it or not. It's really just, like, I think that the people think of straightness is, like, you have no attraction to the opposite sex or gender. You have no thoughts, like, fantasies, nothing of the opposite gender. Like, they're, like, almost repulsive to you, maybe. The extreme people. Like, the idea of it would be so repulsive to you in some way.
Now, I wouldn't go as far as saying people are repulsive or the same sex is repulsive. I just keep it very simplistic. Like, I don't look at another man and think, man, he's sexy as hell.
Right.
Or, man, he's cute. I mean, you can say, man, he's a good-looking brother or whatever, but I'm not going to say, man, I wonder what... Man, I'm probably going to get fricasseed for this. I don't look at another man and be like, damn, I wonder what his inner thigh looks like. You know what I'm saying?
Fair.
I don't look at it. I don't think that. I've seen another man and be like, that's a good-looking brother. You know what I'm saying? That's a good-looking man. And I don't say it in a overly masculine way. Like, that's a good-looking dude, man. You know what I'm saying? I'll just be like, he's a good looking dude. But I won't look at other men and be like, man, I wonder what he looked like naked. That's what I consider 100% straight. Now, I ask all this to say because of a friend, we were talking about this and they were saying the same thing you were saying, like they don't believe everyone is 100% straight. And then it led us down a deep, deep rabbit hole. And I was like, this may sound ignorant, right? But You know, some men, they have threesomes and it's two men and one woman and whatnot. And I was like, hey, I wouldn't want to be naked next to another man. I don't care if a woman is in there.
Okay. Right?
And then they were like, well, what about you being in the locker room? I'm like, that's different. I'm not in the locker rooms don't have beds, do they?
You know? Right. Why is the locker room different?
Why is the locker room different?
Yeah.
Please.
It's a shared room. And to his point earlier, I'm not going in there looking at other men or trying to even think about the next man getting undressed when I'm just going in, taking a shower, and then leaving. There's not a thought that crosses my mind of any type of sexual like connotations of my teammate or whoever it is. So I think one of the things that I think of when you make that statement of not everyone is 100% straight, I think there's a way that you perceive yourself. And then the way that other people perceive you.
Yeah.
And that's where...
That's where it is.
Because to your point before in the other episode of, you know, your mom mentioning, hey, he's wearing those flamboyant shoes again.
Or like gay shoes.
Gay shoes, yeah. Your pops probably doesn't think that.
No, he's like, I just like these shoes.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So I think there's perception of, again, yourself versus the perception of others that may look at you and be like, oh, yeah, you're not 100% gay. Or 100% straight from comments, from the way you dress, from how you carry yourself, but you can be 100% straight. I believe that as well.
So with that being said, now, Michelle, this is where I'm really, I want your opinion on this. Then questions were being brought up like, well, what about this? What about that? What about this? And one of the scenarios, not scenarios, but one of the things that was brought up was I was told how a woman was dating a man and they were talking about what they like sexually, you know, what their fantasies are and whatnot. And the man told her that, you know, an athletic man played football, right? Was like, hey, you know, I look at, you know, I want to look at transgender porn. And then she was like, does that make him gay? And me and my buddy was like, yeah. And she's like, well, how does that make him gay? Because he wants to look at transgender porn. Obviously, in this climate that we live in, you want to think about what you say so you won't come across as an old school, antiquated, you know, not modern thinking person. But you also have to speak your truth too, right? Yeah, how you feel. Yeah. So, you know, I prefaced it all with, I got gay friends, right? This is some dumb shit. I got a lot of gay friends. I love gay people. They're the greatest people in the world. Oh, but with that being said, you know, if you a man and you a straight man and you tell your girlfriend you want to be pegged, mm-hmm. or you want to watch transgendered porn, right? You, in my book, you probably have some homosexual tendencies. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood, and I don't want you to think that I'm judging you for that. If I'm judging you, what I'm judging you on is the fact that for all the time that I've known you, you've probably not admitted or dealt with the fact of who you are, right?
Okay.
You just haven't dealt with that. So my judgment is coming from that. It's not coming from the fact that you want to look at other men's penises or nothing like that.
Right. Does that make sense? No, it makes sense. And like, when we talk about this too, we want to be careful not to like out people accidentally or like be a police of like what's straight or what's gay, right? Like we're working within these like somewhat limited frameworks of sexuality of like gay, straight. Like these words are kind of like, they're throwaways, they're not perfect. They can mean a lot of things to different people.
Yes.
But I would argue that like if someone is watching, like, you know, they're interested in transgender porn and they're like, you know, but they're a straight man, whatever. I feel like that actually proves that no one's 100% straight.
Okay.
Because I think that man can identify as, I am a straight man, and like, I only have interest in engaging in sexual relationships with the opposite sex and gender. But there is something that I find erotic about watching trans porn or gay porn. Now, fantasies and what you're interested in watching doesn't mean you're actually going to do it in real life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I would say that that kind of like actually proves that sexuality is fluid, because by very conservative ideas of straightness, that would be considered not straight. Like by heteronormative ideas of what's a straight man, what's a straight person, that would you'd be now on the scale away from exclusively heterosexual, which I don't think it exists. And there has been research about this, like, even in like the 1940s, there was like the Kinsey scale. He was a sexologist, and he did a study where he like tried to, you know, he did conducted interviews of several people, and he would rank them on a scale of 0 to 6 of like one side being exclusively heterosexual, one side being exclusively homosexual. And he found that like a lot of people did not fall neatly into the ends. A lot of people were falling in the in-between, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is actually what sexuality looks like. It's not like a hard and fast, you're gay or you're not gay. Like, I think there's a lot in between. And it doesn't always correlate to who you'd actually engage with in real life, who you actually want to be with partnered. I don't think it's that neat. But I think we need to start veering away from the idea that, like, there's, like, a specific, oh, this is 100% straight and this is 100% gay. Because I think it's a lot more gray and complex than that. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like you could, yeah, I can see someone who's like, okay, like, I enjoy watching this on TV or like porn, whatever. I don't necessarily want to partake in it, right? But like, I'm turned on by watching it, right? Now, that could be like a voyeurism kink, right? Like, this person just into watching but not participating, right? Like, I don't necessarily think that that means that person, now you should assume that they're going to date gay men. I don't think that's a fair assumption, but I think a lot of people do jump to that. Like, if a woman is dating a man and they see that they're into that, I think people do automatically jump to like, oh, he's probably going to want to be with men after this.
You don't think the thing that's stopping them from deciding to be with a man, or if a man says he wants his girl to peg him, the thing that's stopping him from wanting to fully do it, because in my mind, I'm like, it's the societal norms that are stopping you from going out and fully exploring that, right? I had a situation with a friend that him and his wife were together, and she started exploring that with him, where, you know, she was pegging him and whatnot, right? This was told to me. This was, and it just really spiraled out of control. She was pegging him, and she was just doing it because it was her husband. So she was like, all right, that's what he like. I'm going to keep doing it. And she said one time she came home and found him in the bathroom pleasuring himself, you know. And in my mind, I was like, well, you know, this is something that he wants to explore even more. And he's probably not fully exploring it because he grew up a certain type of way. There's a lot of, you know, there's a certain sort of label that comes with that. So in the confines of his bedroom with his wife, this is as far as he can go.
Yeah.
But you can't tell me that if that's what they're doing, and another man was to enter into the room and said, hey, I'll show you the real thing, and the doors are closed and the windows are tinted and no one knows, he would probably go all the way through with it.
What is this, like if a tree falls and the woods and no one sees it? What is that thing? Does it really fall? No one uses it. Yeah. Does the tree really fall? Yes. Like, because I'm also wondering, like, why does that matter though? That they would theoretically, if all societal norms were erased and like this a perfect vacuum to explore this thing, they would do it.
Yeah.
Why should we care though?
We should. Well, that's the thing, is we shouldn't care.
Yeah.
I think about a lot of things in the world. Like, obviously, you care for humanity. You care for, you know, friends, family, and the well-being of people and all that. But once it gets into like details of how one lives their life.
Yeah.
I got a lot going on myself for me to worry about if you are sexually fluid or not.
But people
you
do
know,
care.
But people care. Yeah. I think, like, that's why we're also here. Like, the conversation is because of the run-ins or the conversations we've had with other people or whatever it may be. Is like, people really do care about things that are like out of their control.
Yeah.
And doesn't really mean anything in the grand scheme to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I bet you your friend, I mean, they felt comfortable sharing that with you, maybe because you're.
No, they didn't share it with me. It was gossip.
It was gossip.
Okay. Chatty Patty.
Chatty Patty. Yeah. It wasn't me. I was just drinking a coffee. They told me.
I always think about the people who are like, so like, oh my God, this is so crazy that they did this thing. I'm always like, are you having good sex or not?
Yeah.
Because their sex life's probably dry.
Yeah.
Because you're so fascinated and intrigued by
because
this,
they're
like,
exploring?
No, like, meaning, like, the person who, like, is so, like, appalled or turned off by,
okay,
like, the idea of, like, oh, like, a friend's husband is doing the pegging thing or, like, exploring this thing. I'm always like, well, how's your sex life going? Because, like, if you're so rigid, how lit is your sex, really?
Yeah, that's a great fucking
Honestly, that's probably not that good. I'm just keeping a buck. Like, I feel like I feel like I'm also a very sex positive person. I think I've had conversations with women too, where like I might say like experiences I've had and they were like, that's so crazy, whatever. And I'm just like, your sex life is dry. Yeah. And I know it.
And I know it.
But it's like you, but it might not be dry to them.
Right.
Because that's all they know. Right. Yeah. But like, I feel like it's limiting. Right. And like, they're probably going to be bored at some point. Maybe they won't. Maybe also everyone's like sex drive is different and not everyone's super sexual, like whatever. But I think a lot of the people who are the most judgmental about it are afraid to explore things themselves.
See, that leads into two. I'm so glad you said that, because that leads into two things. The people that are worried about it, right? The people that, well, I think there's only one legitimate reason to be worried about other people's sex lives or sexual preference or what they're hiding and what they won't face and deal with, the truth that they're running away from. Mm-hmm. When you grow up in a society like this and you are repressed, it tends to come out in a different way. You hurt someone, you hurt yourself, you're emotionally distraught, something, right? Because you can't live your truth.
You can't live your truth, you're so sexually repressed, whatever,
Exactly. So if I'm concerned about my friend, I listened to Gerard Carmichael's special, Ruffanio.
Oh, so good.
Brilliant. Yeah. And he was saying how his friend was like, yeah, I feel like, you know, I've been betrayed or something like that. He's like, well, nigga, give me my $50,000 back, which was hilarious. And I get what Gerard was saying, but I also get his friend too, because sometimes we're not given the benefit of the doubt. We think that because we said to our friend, man, that's you gay? How the fuck you didn't tell me? you think I'm judging you because you're gay.
Right.
I'm really judging you because, damn, motherfucker, you led me to believe that you were somebody else.
Yeah, and or I thought we were tighter than that for you to share, which goes back to then, is there space for black men to even have these conversations?
Oh. But also, maybe your friend didn't share because are you saying some homophobic stuff all the time? True. Are you, like, sharing homophobic clips on YouTube? Are you reposting, like, problematic content all day, and then you're surprised when your friend doesn't tell you anything? Like, you're not creating the space to tell people. Right. Like, you're so they shouldn't be that surprised.
You know what?
Because it's usually the friend that's, like, giving out, like, yeah, like, these kind of, like, these memes or different things that are, like, deeply problematic. Like, you've already let me know where you fall on this, right? And it's 100%. Like, of course I'm not going to say anything.
That's very well said. I had that experience with a friend.
Yeah.
But that friend was right alongside me doing all that. We were young, and he's right alongside me making the jokes about stuff like that, and he turns out to be gay. And And when one of my friends told me that he was gay, I was like, why didn't he tell me? I'm the most liberal person ever. And then, you know, the same thing was said to me, like, well, wait a minute, you're O'Neill, and we know how you are. You joke about everything. And I'm like, but he was joking right alongside me.
Right.
So even though
for social acceptance, possibly. Yes. Yeah, that's what it was. It was a masking. Yeah.
It's such an interestingly layered thing. And as far as the second thing I was going to say is the people that are concerned and are worried about it, usually there's something going on. Like overly masculine men, I always wonder about them.
Because
I'm like,
that's a red flag usually.
That's a red flag.
You're hiding something, to be honest.
You're hiding something.
You're leaning into this performance of hypermasculinity so heavily. It's like, who are you trying to convince?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I do feel that way too. You know, like, of course, I want to make it clear, I don't think, like, just because I said everyone is not, no one's 100% straight, like, I think there are going to be bro-y guys, and, like, bro-y guys should exist, all that stuff, but there's certain people that are, like, performing it to such a high degree, you're almost like, is this, like, satire? Like, why are you so, like, locked into this, like, men do this, and it's like, where did you see that? Where did you read that?
Well, like, also, it's like insecurities of men that are really actually trying to convince themselves that men should be doing this, men should be doing that. You know what I mean? It's like, as much as you're projecting, it's actually you talking to yourself because of whatever insecurities you have. And
totally,
it's kind of like seeing something. I use the American Beauty analogy. You know, I don't know if you guys have seen that movie.
Oh, Tom Cruise?
No American Beauty with Chris Cooper's in it, Kevin Spacey.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
In the 90s?
Right?
Yeah.
But dad is, Chris Cooper plays the dad, and he's like, he doesn't want his son going next door hanging out with the neighbor because the neighbor doesn't seem like he's a masculine enough man. And so he would refer to him as gay.
Oh, this might be contagious.
Yes, and he's like, he's referring to him as, I don't want you hanging out with these gay men. Da-da-da-da-da. And then in one of the scenes, the dad tries to kiss Kevin Spacey, the man who he's been calling gay all this time, because in actuality, he had those feelings.
He was,
And Kevin Spacey was like, I'm not really, ironically enough, Kevin Spacey is really gay, but I'm not really his character, I'm not gay. And he killed him. He killed him because he was like, oh, I thought we were on the same page.
That is the scary part. So that is honestly the scary part of being out, because people will resort to violence because of shame. Yeah. Because of the shame. And I understand why people are secretive. Yeah, because people will.
Why are you pointing at me like this?
No, man, I got
it. It's like, what's going on?
Like, I'm just a representative of all athletes.
Yeah.
You mean, we even though we're trying to be progressive, we still are. You're like, nigga, why are you pointing at me?
Yeah.
The athletes, like, because, listen, we all know there's a shit ton of professional athletes.
No, there has to be.
That are gay.
Just by numbers, like, statistically.
Yes, that are like,
there's no way.
No way I'm coming out, and like, I'm not getting clowned. I think you have to be a superstar to be able to say I'm gay, and a beast to be able to say I'm gay, and everybody be like, all right, cool.
I don't know. I think you just have to own it. Yeah. I think you have to be like,
you don't think you got to be a star, Garen, for real?
No, I don't. I think you got to own it. There was a basketball player a few years ago.
Jason Collins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he was on the back end of his career, so I guess, you know, people can challenge that. But I think once he owned it, or in a sense was just like, this is who I am, it was a quick little like, oh, all right, back to, can you play basketball?
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think, you know, for so long it hasn't been accepted in not only the black community, but even the athlete community and things of that nature. So you have those layers and complexities that are a part of the whole grand scheme of things. But I wouldn't just say that athletes are, because now you're putting athletes back into like the super masculine category, and that all athletes are,
there you go, that's a good point,
beating their chest and all that. It's like, no, I don't think that's, I mean, because we're all human beings at the end of the day. And I think, you know, just as they have things to work on, I think we all have things to work on.
So
it's in the athlete community. Yes, there's probably still hesitation and all that, but I wouldn't be quick to jump to say like it's so much different from like other communities that have problems with it as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I think, do you feel like with athletes, some of it also comes down to like the sponsorship thing, where it's like, whatever, whoever their management team is, like, this might isolate your favor with certain sponsors or whatever. Like,
I think that plays a role in anyone that's in a position of like popularity or entertainment. It's like, if I, to your point earlier, if I looked at you this way, and now that you're saying you're this way, that may jeopardize some things. But I don't know if there's teams that are formally going to come out and say like to their athletes or players, if you guys are this, we can't be, or we can't have the sponsorship, or we can't do this.
Yeah, I feel like those days are kind of behind us for the most part. I mean, I do think about like Magic Johnson coming out with HIV. Like, I feel like we've come a long way, because that was a big deal, right? People were like, oh, he must be gay, right? Like, and maybe he is, maybe he wasn't, I don't care. But like, people just assumed because he had this virus or whatever that he must be gay.
And everything was so much more of like the unknown because of the privacy of things. Like, I wasn't walking into a locker room, or athletes not walking into the locker room just being like, yo, I'm gay, or whatever it may be. Is like, over time, if you got to get to know an athlete and they express what they were and all that, I think it doesn't become a big deal until people make it a big deal, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I think we're like moving, and I do think like, I think we're getting to a more comfortable place with it. I do think people are being more open, and like, we're just having more open, like, celebrities, entertainers. I think it's happening, it's just slowly happening.
I mean, I agree with both of you. But I do think
that, like, also think about Whitney too. Remember, like, Whitney and like Robin. Robin is like Whitney. Remember Whitney? Houston?
Oh, Whitney Houston.
Was dating Robin, right? Yeah, and like, we all kind of like brushed. Like, I didn't even know that history really, because it was like, oh, that's a side note.
Yeah.
It's not really a side note. Like, she was having a whole relationship with a woman.
Yeah,
that was like a real loving
thing. Which is cool for women to be lesbian or bisexual.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
But
why,
men can't.
Why is that? Why is that? Because I we had that conversation too, and I want to know why. Because I feel as though it's okay for women to be sexually fluid, because men have put that on them. Women have felt like, okay, men like when we kiss each other.
Yes.
Men like when we do this. So let's do this. But women can't put that on us.
Yes, I would say that's true. I think fluidity is probably evenly dispersed between like heteronormative male, heteronormative female. I feel like fluidity is equal, but I think there's a misconception that women are more fluid than men. And I've had men that I've dated be like, oh, everyone knows that. Like, women are just more into fluid. I'm like, whoa, that's not true. This is why a lot of dates don't go well with me. I'm like, I'm like, that's not true, right? Like, I think that has been popularized by porn, right? Like, pornography heavily, like, tons of like lesbians, bisexual, like, that's like a huge niche of porn. I think that's just like a popular myth, but I think it's just more controversial, quote unquote, if men lean into fluidity than women. That's it. But I think both can be equally fluid. Yeah. I just think one is more societally cool or like acceptable, attractive for the male gaze or whatever, but then the other way, I feel like men are very like into maintaining masculinity the way they know it. So they're going to push back against that. Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this. What about from the juvenile perspective, right? Like, a lot of people argue, you know, you don't figure out what you want to do and who you are until your 30s and this, that. Now, you don't know yourself until your 40s. Some people in their 50s, right? But for a child to say that, I know that I'm this, I can become this, I want to have I want to take hormones, or right. You know, I want to engage in this. A lot of people push back against it because they're like, well, hold on, you're fucking 16 years old. You okay. can't make a logical decision. You can't say that you are this. But considering the culture that we live in now, you have gender fluid bathrooms, right? I've heard stories of, like, in the high schools here, from Campbell Hall to all the schools. In the bathrooms and whatnot. How do you feel about that? And the bullying trans children experience and go through in school.
Yeah. So there is a lot of trans bullying. Like, not recently, there has been a death of a trans student, Nex Benedict, in Oklahoma, non-binary, was getting bullied for a year or so. And these girls were bullying, like fought this person in a bathroom. You know, the student's 16, they're non-binary. They're told by the school they have to use the girls' bathroom because that's their, like, assigned sex at birth or whatever. So then all the girls are bullying them, and then they're dead the next day, and there's public outcry. So I think there's a misconception that people think kids don't know who they are. Kids actually do know a lot about who they are, gender-wise. And there's been a lot of studies about kids that if kids that receive gender-affirming care have reduced suicidality, reduced depression and anxiety, like, their well-being is far better than the kids that are not allowed to be the gender that they associate with as children. And people think, oh my God, the hormones and stuff. There's actually so much, you have to be, like, go through tons of psychological testing, tons of specialists to be able to access, like, the hormones and things like that. A lot of these things are reversible and they're safe. And also, like, the entire medical community is like, we support gender affirming care because they see the numbers and they see when kids don't access it, they're committing suicide, right. They're running away from home. Like, very negative outcomes when kids are not allowed to access the gender affirming care. So I understand. I think, like, the thing is too, like, most trans kids will not have surgery before 18, right? Like, that's just how it works. Like, it would take a lot to be able to access that because you'd have to get, like, a psychologist approval, doctor approval, parent consent, a lot of different, like, roadblocks before being able to access that. But, like, puberty blockers, reversible. Like, certain other things, reversible. They're not permanent, right? So there's really no downside of letting your kid decide those things. The only downside you have is when you don't affirm your kid's identity, then you get situations where, like, bullying, death, all these things. Like, and it's true for any, like, minority identity. When you're not allowed to be who you are, it always turns out poorly.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Like, and I think there's studies that show sexuality fluidity is actually more common with kids than it is with
youth. Yes. Yeah. And I think that's because youth tends to be more, like, just progressive, first of all.
And I believe, like, they're just exploring.
And, like, they're exploring, they're just trying to
figure out things and trialing things and all that. Yeah,
they're exploring, they're figuring things out. Totally.
Do you think that with being sexually fluid that you should be allowed to be on the equal playing field, like, with sports and things of that nature? Because a lot of people argue, great, like, okay, question. Listen, you know, I've talked to people and they're like, well, no, everyone's sexually fluid. Let them do this. Let them do that. This, that, and the other. And then I'll ask that question, like, okay, so if your daughter has to play someone that's, you know, transitioned into a little girl on the soccer field, are you cool with that too? And most of the time they'll tell me, well, no, that's different. And I'm like, well, if that's different, I guess my question is, where does it stop? Because let's be real, unless... And for, you know, if I'm speaking from an ignorant point of view, please let me know. To my knowledge, they haven't created any serum that will kill all the testosterone and rise the estrogen in you to make sure that you don't have the speed of a what a little boy has, or the strength of a young man, or things of that nature. Right? I don't think they've done that yet. So
I'm not sure about that. Like, I'm not sure about that.
So with that being asked, I mean, like, I would feel some particular sort of way if my daughter has to play soccer against a little girl who just transitioned. She's gonna be bigger. She's gonna be stronger. She's gonna be faster. I'm gonna feel some type of way.
Yeah. Okay. And the feeling type of way is like, you know, if it is my daughter, of her training, working hard, and doing all the right things to be the best, we'll say, or whatever, and that just off of physicality alone from a trans woman now is like, I do think there should be some type of boundaries when you're in like sporting competitions and other things. I don't know what that is. Like, I'm not the say all or be all, whatever it may be, but there does need to be some like separation between that.
So
unless there's going to be co-ed leagues and
things that are going on, like
that could be something,
that makes sense. That could be a solution. So I think before we explore if this should be allowed, there's some stuff happening that is not trans related that I think is very related to this. So where there's certain women athletes that tend to have slightly higher testosterone. And now they're disqualified. This is a natural genetic, just like how some people are taller, some people are shorter, right? Like just genetically tend to have higher testosterone and they're getting penalized for their natural makeup. Right. So it's like, I can't really co-sign the like people who are anti-trans people participating in sports when people who are not trans that also have certain markers that are like veering from the average are getting penalized, even though that's like a natural occurrence of their life, right?
Is a problem in itself. I think it's a separate problem. I think that's something that needs to be re-looked at and all that.
I don't know if it's separate just because you're still using testosterone as a marker of like, oh, this number of testosterone determines if they're a woman.
But you also use the word natural.
Okay, well, not natural, meaning, I don't want to say natural, but like...
But I'm saying like, as a woman having natural, higher testosterone, that is a natural thing that she can't
move
away from, right?
Yes.
And that they should relook at that.
Yeah.
But now if
but
you have
a
trans woman that's moving over that naturally actually has the testosterone and started as a man, is now competing... And instead of competing in men's sports, you're now moving into women's sports. It's not like she being the woman with the high testosterone is trying to now race against men.
Right.
She's like, I'm a woman. I'm you know what I mean? Like naturally in that sense, competition. It seems a little bit kind of like confusing, but all I'm saying is like there's a difference between natural hormones and things that are happening to then how you express and identify yourself.
Yeah, and you can't ask me to just more overlook that. You just can't. And so that's where I ask the question, like, well, how far are we going now? Because, yes, you are entitled to label yourself whatever you want to label yourself. I will adhere to whatever pronoun you want me to refer you at, whatever. But then, let's be real. There are people that take full advantage of that. There's motherfuckers out there that are saying that they identify with being a basketball. There's people out there that are saying I am an Apple computer. Now obviously it's excessive and ridiculous, but that's happening. So if we scale that back a little bit, a motherfucker who can run a 4.4 who decides to transition and now is a trans woman that's on the field racing my daughter, I'm gonna be looking at him like, this motherfucker ran a 4.4. What the fuck? How is this fair? You're asking me, overlook that for the sake of
But have we, before we jump to that, I'm afraid to comment on this before I've like examined like how the performance looks, because are trans athletes killing it?
Yes.
Okay.
There's trans woman who left competing with men and started competing with women in swimming.
Okay.
And cleared out all the awards.
Cleared it out. Just inversely, there's a trans woman that decided to go into boxing and box a real man and got
be careful with the word real.
I'm sorry, to box a man that was boxing, born with a penis out of from his mom.
A cisgendered
male.
Yes, okay.
And got their clock cleaned. So my question is, and I'm asking from a purely curious standpoint, where is there a line that should be drawn? Because listen, there are freak of nature women, right? That you know, they're stronger than men. But that's, we're talking about one-offs.
There's always
here.
Freak of nature.
There's always freak of nature people that are just gifted, right?
Yeah.
But for the most part, does that mean you want to fight in wars too? Does that mean you want to? Does that mean you want to do everything a cisgendered man is supposed to do? That also means you make the money. You be the main caretaker.
We're jumping here.
All these things, right? Because if that's the case, feel free, have at it. I'm just trying to understand where the line is, right? Because to me, it seems like the line is consistently being moved. Like here,
does all this reflect that a lot of these gender binary is kind of bullshit, and we might be leaning on that too heavily in modern society?
Touche.
Yeah.
Touche.
Like, how useful is it?
Touche. Garen, Michelle, we could talk about this for a while, but obviously we're out of time.
Yeah.
This has been Keep Me Different, episode 6. We'd like you to like. We'd like you to subscribe. If you'll notice that, you know, I've veered away from saying that, you know, I want you to listen to this or watch this while you're on the toilet, because I've been told by my, I'm being policed.
You are. There you go. Much needed.
Thank you for tuning in.
That was good, guys.